Alrighty. Good morning once again. This is Jennifer. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and we are going to get started now. This is day three of Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11 today. So grab your Bible and your Bible study. If you haven't already downloaded it, go to La Mirada Christian Church's website, lamiradachurch.com, and download that from the Women's Ministry Bible Study page. Grab Ephesians. Open up your Bible. I'll be reading out of the ESV as usual. Read out of whatever version is comfortable for you. But just for unity's sake and bringing us all into the same wording, it'll help us to move through the scripture a little bit better for Bible study's sake in a group, right? So, like I said, grab your Bible and get that going. Let's get my phone charging so it doesn't fall apart on me. My lipstick is super bright this morning. I'm going to stop this download. Okay, here we go. I have really bright lipstick. Now I can't not see the lipstick, how bright it is. Podcast people, you will not be distracted this morning because you don't have to look at my bright lipstick today. Oh. As we move closer to fall, watch the changing colors. I always wear darker and brighter lipstick in the fall. So, all right, enough of that. Let's get started into our Bible study. I'm going to cruise through this lesson here today, and I'm going to scoot off to a dentist appointment this morning, so you can keep me in prayer for that one. And let's pray right now also. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Today I ask that you would teach me wonderful things from your law, and that by your spirit I would not simply wrap my mind around the truth, but I would be so gripped by the very depths of my heart that I would believe and desire and live out this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Let's go ahead and read that passage again. You know, when we get back into the Word and we read over and over again familiar scriptures, I like to refer to them as friends, like visiting an old friend. So let's visit an old friend. We're going to go through chapter 4, 1 through 16 today. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he is also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from which the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when being each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. All right, let's move on to our study questions now. One of my spiritual mentors, John MacArthur, said that, quote, no passage in all the Word of God has had a greater impact on the destiny of his church than Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. That's a powerful statement, considering Grace Community, which was formative in my own spiritual growth and is one of the most influential churches in America today. As we approach this passage, let's be mindful of the power of all Scripture to transform us, and this passage in particular to reorient our spiritual life. That's a pretty exciting endorsement. What could it be in this passage that John MacArthur would say this was formative in what he did in his church, growing his church? And if you want to read his story, you can go online and read that. But it's really amazing what he did. Get my fan turning on over here. There we go. It's really amazing what he did. So I'd encourage you to read his story. He's one of my mentors, like I said. Okay, so compare Paul's, number one, compare Paul's focus in chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, with 4, 7 through 12. The conversation in Ephesians in 4, 1 through 6 had been all about the whole, or about the body, remember? In 7 through 12, it's about each other. It's about the members. It's about the distinctions of the body, that all of those differences are there to serve the whole body. So Paul goes from a part to whole mindset as he's moving forward. Now with this shift, Paul begins moving from the church as a whole to each member's individual gifting and role. Are you feeling the move? Are you feeling how Paul is bringing us through? He set the theological foundations for this entire book, for our entire Christian walk, in chapters 1 through 3. And then now we move into 4, 5, and 6 coming as well. And he moves into the practical living. So the foundation is always in the truth, the theology, and the inner man, the inner identity of who we are, right? And then now let's take a look at what that looks like, all fleshed out. So read Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and answer the following to clarify the means, the purpose, and the goal of God's enabling of his people. And now the fan is up so high that it's blowing my papers. All right, I'm gonna turn that down just a notch. Come on, fan, come on down. Okay. So chapter 4, verse 11, get back over to that. Chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So who gave? So it says he. Who are we talking about? Well, right before that, go back up and read and see if you can figure that out. Verse 10, what does it says? He who was descended is also the one who ascended. Who has it been talking about? If we go back up again, verse 9, in saying he ascended, what does it mean? That he also descended into the lower regions. Go back up again, verse 8. He ascended on high. He led a host of captives. He gave gifts to men. Go back up again, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So who's the he? So again, we make sure when we're reading scripture, we're not just like, oh, God, that's just God or the Holy Spirit. Make sure you know what the scripture says, back it all up and see who the pronoun is connected to, in this case, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Christ's gift. That's a word Paul's using to emphasize his messiahship, his fulfilling of prophecy. Then he quotes from Psalm 68:18, and makes that psalm, attributes that psalm to Jesus Christ in the same way. And then he moves forward here and he says, and he gave the apostles. All right. So who's he? Jesus. And who did he give them to? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. I hope I gave you enough room in that space to write your answers there. What was given, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So what was given? Gifts. And for what purpose? To equip the saints for the purpose of ministry. Okay. Until when? Verse 13. Until we what? Attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Another when? To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's a long when. I gave you a little bit more space on that one. All right. So the when is, you can feel it if you think about it, if you're moving through the scripture, you can feel it, because we know the perfect unity of the faith and the perfect knowledge of God and perfect maturing to manhood will not happen until we are ultimately united in Christ, in the new heavens and the new earth. That we get that from the whole of scripture. That's why it's important to read all of the word of God. But we are also talking about the now, the immediate, the process of attaining the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God that happens when the saints are equipped. Who are the saints? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, all of us for whom he ascended and descended. You see how it layers on? We're teaching through all of that, okay? And so verse 14, what won't happen? So that we may no longer be children, so that we may not no longer be, what are children like? Well, they're tossed to and fro. I want this. No, I don't. I want that. You know, kids are, mommy, make me a sandwich. Cut off the edges. Why'd you cut off the edges, right? We are tossed to and fro like little kids are. Tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by wind of doctrine, which is human cunning, from human cunning and craftiness in deceitful schemes. No reason to do that. So what do we need to be? We need to be equipped as saints, right? Take on our position as saints. And we need to be moving into the attaining of the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. All right. Instead, what will happen, verses 15 and 16, rather, here's what should happen. Speak the truth in love. Grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together, held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it can build itself up in love. Isn't that amazing? Love it. Okay. Excuse me. I was loud into the microphone. Sorry about that. All right. Let's take a look back now. Ephesians. Now we've got the overview of our whole passage that we're going through. And now let's go back and break it down. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. List the positions Paul gives and below each one write a definition. All right. I wrote them out by letter for you. A, apostles. And then we're going to move through that. And then number two, P, prophets. E, evangelists. S, shepherds. And T, teachers. And I want you to look up in the dictionary or your Bible dictionaries, any definition that you can find that would support what an apostle, prophet. Now, you can just go off the top of your head. If you know what they are, but if you're not sure, I want you to look it up in the dictionary and write down apostle and the definition of that. Now, apostle is a sent one, someone who's commissioned directly by Christ. So Paul is an apostle. Anybody who had that contact and was sent directly by Christ. A prophet is be careful on this one. A prophet is not somebody who predicts the future, but is a truth speaker of God's word, communicates the truth of God's word. And it could involve prophecy in that sense of it, predicting the future. Not like, who's this guy right now? David Mead predicting the world's going to end on September 23rd. He's the prophet of doom du jour. And so those types of people are not biblical prophets. So no, not like that. But someone who speaks truth, proclaims God's truth. An evangelist. And an evangelist is also someone who's sent out with a good word, with the good news to preach, to go out and preach that. A shepherd, literally, I want you to think of what a shepherd does, gathering up the flock, tending to the flock, making sure that the flock is well cared for, and teachers. So a teacher is like what I'm doing right now, what you did when you were in third grade, receiving teaching from a teacher in a spiritual sense, someone who has the word of God and is speaking it out and teaching other people, helping them learn it and explain it. So this is the positions that Paul gives here. Is this an exclusive list? No. Be careful about that. Just because Paul mentions a list in like the fruits of the Spirit, for example, in Galatians or the armor of God, for example, this does not mean that it's an exclusive list. This is all there is in the armor. This is all there is in the fruits. Or this is all that there is in terms of positions. There are other positions that aren't even mentioned here, like elder and deacon. Okay. So, but this is definitely a list of people that Christ has given gifts to and to equip them in these specific ways and this specific role. Okay. So what is the purpose of giving the church some who would be in these roles? Consider also James 1, verse 4. So let's take a look at that. In James chapter 1, we have that Bible study done on that, if you remember from a few weeks ago, and we went through the whole book. So revisiting that. So James chapter 1, verse 4 says, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So what's the purpose of giving the church some who would be in these roles? Steadfastness in these roles. Have its full effect. You may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay? So, ultimately, our purpose in terms of steadfastness, and Paul refers to forbearance in the previous chapter before, about that being part of our the fruits and the behaviors that should be distinct in the church. And then, overall, we see this throughout all Scripture when the apostles write the epistles, apostles writing epistles. The Greek word translated to equipped, the ESV, perfecting in the King James, is katartismos. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It means a bringing into condition of fitness, perfecting, and describes how the individual parts are enabled to work together in correct only in order. And it's only used this one time in the New Testament, that Greek word perfecting, okay? And Paul uses it here when he's talking about the different positions of the saints. So Ephesians 4:15 is a beautiful description of how the body of Christ should interact. And so write that verse out there. That's a good one. Maybe that was even the verse that you picked to memorize. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And especially that first part there, speaking the truth in love. And be mindful that speaking the truth in love does have a general application. We should be loving in all the ways that we speak to people. But in particular, Paul is in this passage about truth. So this is the truth that he's focused on here. Now, we should be seeking the truth in love in general to people as well. That should be a hallmark of who we are as believers, that we have the truth and we speak the truth and we do it in a loving way. But always keep the context in the forefront that Paul is right here in the midst of writing this. He's downloading a ton of truth for everybody. And so this is the truth he's particularly focused on. So let's speak this truth in love and let other people know. Because why? Got finished saying that we should not be tossed around by waves of doctrine, human cunning, craftiness, deceitful schemes. No, speak the truth to people. So they're not, we don't want them tossed around like that. And who's speaking that truth? Well, all of us are, because those that Christ has equipped, some are apostles and prophets, and of course there were apostles back then, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. He's equipping them right then in that moment to say, you've got this equipping, you've got this gift that Christ has given you, use it to speak the truth in love to people. So we're not children tossed to and fro by the winds. All right. So on what basis do we as Christians speak the truth? Oh, sorry. I think I skipped a part. I did. Go back up and read that. There it is. In the Greek, speaking the truth is literally, the word is literally truthing. That's a really important part. Glad I got back to that. the Greek word is literally truthing. The word is aletheuo, and literally means speaking reality or truth into a person's life, making a record of what God deems is truth. The word for love in this verse is the ultimate expression of selfless love, agape. The same love that God lavished on us in Christ. That is how we're to engage with one another. In truth, God's truth, truthing in love. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. On what basis do we as Christians speak the truth in love to someone? Only on the truth of Christ. Only on the truth of Christ. This isn't you walking around saying, I really think the trash should be taken out. So I'm going to tell my husband, I'm going to speak the truth to him about the trash cans. I'm going to speak it in love. Stop doing that. I mean, you can get your husband to take the trash out if you want to, but stop using the Bible to justify your personal agenda, your personal list. This speaking the truth in love scripture is referring to God's truth, the truth that Paul had literally just been talking about, so that we would know the truth, right? Christ even speaks of that. Who's the truth? He is. And people use that verse all the time. You know, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's great if you know what the truth is. And the truth was everything Christ had just been saying. And Paul's in the same boat here. Speak the truth in love isn't a verse that you can wield at anybody who wants to. You can grab it and say, get whatever they want out of it. Because I spoke the truth, but I spoke it to you in love. So that means you need to accept it. This is about God's truth. We're to speak his truth in love. We're to speak everything in love, people. But in this context, please do not misuse the scripture to allow you somehow permission to speak any truth that you want to put air quotes around. And then as long as you say you feel like you didn't love, you're going to get away with it. Be careful. I don't think God appreciates misusing his word at all. So how do you see your church as each part working properly, as described in Ephesians 4? And why do you think this happened? Think about your church and how your church functions and how that looks in the life of your church. What can you do today to thank your church? Who can you thank today for their faithfulness in this area? Is there somebody in your church? And there's people listening to this Bible study from a variety of different churches. But when the body comes together and functions well together as the body, as the apostles and prophets and teachers, right? This is where you can come in and see what, you know, hopefully you're doing your work as well, but thank the people that are working in your church, and you see the unity in your church. Is your church lacking? Each part not working properly in this area. Why? What do you think's missing? And why not speak to one of your church leaders about this today and say, hey, this is what I see the scripture teaching us, and I feel like there's a lack here. And be careful, because if we're going to present a lack, we want to make sure that we're part of making wholeness come, so you're not just saying, hey, you guys, you need to get your act together up there as leaders. The Bible says so, right? No, you're an active part of this church. You've got the word of truth, and you're going to go to your leaders and the other women in your church and say, you know what? We're not cutting it here. Let's get together and do this church life. Let's do it biblically, right? All right. So can you, as a member of your church, be active in this part of perfecting? Think about your role. Are you on the sidelines, enjoying the fruits of the labors of those who are teaching and preaching and shepherding, but you're not engaged as someone who's been equipped also by Christ? Maybe that's something you need to bring to the Father today and confess it if it's sin, or if it's just an oversight, and say, God, you know what? I need this. I need to be more involved in my church life. How can I be a part? If I'm called, and we all are, by the way, then I want to make sure I'm doing that for the Lord and for the glory of His kingdom, right? All right, so think about that today as we close. And close your time in prayer for your church. Ask God to grow up in every way into Him so that it is truly built in love. And then go ahead and write and practice your Bible verse there today. All right, it's good to be with you. I enjoy our study all the time. Love our time that we have together. And I'm glad that we can share it. I'm off to a dentist appointment, so I have to wrap up our time together right now. Don't forget to share the video today. Let other people know that you're learning and appreciate this. Maybe send it to your pastor or your teacher as well and tell them that you're enjoying this study and that you're learning. God, whether you're learning from them or elsewhere, pastors love to hear from the people that they're shepherding. That's what a pastor is, someone who shepherds, and that they're learning and they're growing in the Spirit. It's a huge blessing. I know it would be a blessing to me if I received that from someone in my church. So, God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. I look forward to being back here with you tomorrow morning for the rest of chapter 4. Until then, you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye.